Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Organizing Solutions for People with ADHD, Second Edition, Revised and Updated. Tips and Tools to Help You Take Charge of Your Life and Get Organized. By Susan C. Pinsky. Narrated by Aaron DeWard. Publisher's Note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to pictures present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Introduction. Early in my career as a professional organizer, I was hired by a vivacious and talented part-time artist whose home was among the messiest and most disorganized I had ever seen. We worked together one day a week to organize a space or set up an organizational system, but when I would return the next week, all would be undone. I would then have to waste valuable time readdressing the old problems before we could move on to new ones. I could not, for the life of me, understand why this intelligent and capable artist had a harder time than any other clients maintaining the spaces and systems we had worked so hard to organize. Ironically, the answer to this question came from within my own family. I came to the study of organizational solutions for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, out of necessity rather than design. My eldest daughter was diagnosed with ADHD when she was a fourth grader. Up until that time, I had comforted myself with a series of excuses to explain away her difficulty managing her schedule and possessions. I alternately told myself that she was undisciplined, she was an absent-minded professor type, or our parental expectations were alternately too lax or unreasonably high. But eventually, it became clear that through no fault of ours or hers, my daughter struggled to stay focused on even the simplest of tasks. A method is born. Not surprisingly, my jobs as a professional organizer and as the parent of an ADHD-afflicted child soon began to overlap. Based on what I was learning about ADHD, I was able to rely on my expertise as a professional organizer to weigh, adopt, reject, or modify organizational systems that could help my daughter. Conversely, my newfound knowledge of ADHD led me to recognize that along with the aforementioned female artist, many of my chronically disorganized clients, and sometimes a client's chronically disorganized spouse or child, were exhibiting what I now know to be ADHD behaviors and symptoms. I also discovered that the organizing systems I was using at home to assist my daughter were far more effective in the homes of these clients than the standard values, methods, and tricks of the trade I had previously used as a professional organizer. Over time, I was able to develop a clear methodology that responded to the specific needs of someone with ADHD. And soon, my client base drew heavily from that community. If you have ADHD and you struggle to stay organized, you may have asked yourself the following questions. How do I create an organized life when the repetitive tasks required for good organization are too tedious to engage my attention? And when my possessions, even important and expensive ones, are constantly misplaced in moments of distraction? How do I live harmoniously with family members when my stuff tends to invade their space and my tardiness affects their schedules? These are discouraging questions. But let me assure you that good organizational skills are not beyond your reach. By re-examining some outdated values, simplifying your systems, refining your definition of organization, and adjusting some of your expectations, you can achieve a sustainable, organized life. This book is geared toward anyone whose life and home are affected by ADHD, which includes both ADHD sufferers and their frustrated family members striving unsuccessfully to keep an orderly home. It addresses those ADHD symptoms that stand in the way of organizing: impulsivity, distractibility, perfectionism, memory lapses, and procrastination. But it also calls on the common strengths of ADHD sufferers: enthusiasm, intelligence, ingenuity, and creativity to aid in the search for a more organized life. A word of warning, though: these methods are not typical. They reject many worthy values while encouraging a slapdash, get-it-done style that might feel very alien. But while our "even better is the enemy of good enough" mantra may seem shocking, I guarantee it gets the job done. A note about this method and addition: the ADHD method of organizing relies on efficiency above all other values, because organizational systems that suggest you spend a lot of time getting prepared for events that may or may not occur, protecting against possible but unlikely misfortune, creating multiple backups, and generally making everything beautiful or perfect, are disastrous for a population that has limited patience for maintenance tasks. But I am going to tell you a secret. Since the original edition of this book came out, nay, even before it was published, I had started using these get-it-done-fast and sufficiently, not painstakingly and perfectly, ADHD-appropriate methods with all of my clients. It turns out that any home that struggles with organization, whether because of illness, lack of time, multiple children, working parents, tight spaces, excess clutter, or an overcommitted schedule — and who doesn't have one of these stressors — should rely on a system that gets things done efficiently with the least amount of time and work put in. After all, how many people really want to spend their time doing chores? I don't. I even wrote a book about it, The Fast and Furious 5-Step Organizing Method, which gives anyone who struggles with organization a chance to master no-fuss clutter control. The golden rule of organizing: inventory must conform to storage. When I make any home ADHD style efficient, I follow a pretty draconian version of the golden rule of organizing. Inventory shouldn't just conform to storage, but should be less than storage, so that it never requires a multi-step dance to put things away. Instead, every item should be stored where it is used, so it can be stowed in one single motion. This not only makes the home sensible and efficient, it allows everyone to help out. That is, not only will my ADHD clients be able to pick up any room in their home in less than 3 minutes, but anyone — your mother-in-law after Thanksgiving dinner, or your 8-year-old after any meal — can help out too. Indeed, the house should make so much sense that a stranger could figure out where something belongs. Join the revolt against consumption. The straightest, most effective path to achieving the golden rule of efficiency is reduction. We have to reduce, not give up necessities or even occasional luxuries, but rather give up the cult of stuff that is destroying our homes, stealing our leisure time, wiping out our wallets, and killing the planet. In some cases, this may require weeding out technologies and other gadgets, both new and old, that are not helping us, but instead interfering with our desire to lead a clutter-free life. Note that this revised and expanded volume will also address technology that either didn't exist or had not yet come into its own when this book was first published in 2006. But we will still analyze all technology, both new and old, through our prism of efficiency. I say "we" in this book because the super efficient, simple, reduced system I've created for my ADHD clients is one I now use myself. and that everyone who eschews materialism, treasures leisure time, and is concerned for the health of our planet should think of adopting. For this reason, in this revised edition, I have changed my call-outs from you, meaning those with ADHD, to we, meaning anyone who cares about sustainable, maintainable organization. Of course, in our modern consumer age, this iconoclastic bid for reduction will be greeted at every turn with horror or protestations. The marketers would like us to believe that being prepared with every tool at every moment is organized, that spending more time and money will keep us safe, that even more things are helpful and bring happiness, and that we aren't resilient or resourceful enough to live without. Look at any magazine, TV, or website, and they scream at you, "Buy, buy, buy," but never, of course, say a word about the value of resourcefulness over possessing, reduction over recycling, or resilience over perfectionism. That said, with the correct approach, modernity can give us a chance to simplify, as long as we filter all the new technologies and methods through the prism of efficiency, organization can be ours. How to use this book. This volume is divided into two distinct sections. Part 1, Organizing for the Disorganized, outlines my ADHD-friendly organizing methodology so you can apply it to your home, your schedule, and your life. It discusses the precepts and myths of good organization, and the reasons why some organizational strategies may be suitable for one individual with ADHD, while others are disastrous. Part 2, Individual Projects, is arranged by room or project and consists of common, real-life organizing problems faced by my ADHD clients and the solutions to those problems. These have been limited to mostly small-scale organizing tasks that won't overwhelm. While this book can be listened to from start to finish, it can also be used as a quick reference guide. Once you've finished listening to part one, feel free to skip ahead and find an organizational project that suits your needs. With each project you complete, my hope is that you'll have gained enough confidence in your organizing abilities to tackle yet another task until you're well on your way to a happy, harmonious, and more organized life. Part 1. Organizing for the Disorganized. In my work with ADHD clients, I am often the third or fourth professional organizer to enter the home. Typically, my clients' bookshelves are teeming with volumes about organization, and their wallets are skinny from purchasing plastic tubs and drawer dividers. Yet the house itself looks as though it has been transported to Oz via tornado. The visual chaos is often exacerbated by emotional turbulence within the home. Those members of the family who do not suffer from ADHD cannot understand why the organizational systems they were at such pains to research, pay for, and set up are not being followed. They assume that the family member with ADHD is lazy or inconsiderate. Frustration leads to resentment, and tension follows. Ironically, people with ADHD do not tend to be lazy. They are instead some of the most energetic people I know, capable of boundless enthusiasm and dizzying creativity. What they are is discouraged because the organizational systems that are handed to them are either so complex or so tedious that they are impossible for the ADHD sufferer to maintain. The most difficult part of any job, getting started, has to be confronted and overcome multiple times for the ADHD sufferer to accomplish even the most banal of tasks, like taking a shower. the attention able need to overcome inertia and motivate themselves only once to begin their shower. People with ADHD may have to motivate themselves 4, 5, or 6 times. They may start for the shower, only to find themselves back in the bedroom because they were distracted while fetching a clean towel from the hall linen cupboard. They may again start for the shower, only to end up in the kitchen, where they wandered after traipsing to the basement to rummage among the economy-sized supplies for a pack of soap bars. Again and again, they must exercise the self-discipline to start for that shower, knowing full well that there is some chance they will again be frustratingly sidetracked. And while they expend this extraordinary mental energy to re-motivate themselves, unshowered family members are probably berating them for laziness and lack of consideration. Is there any wonder that they are discouraged? Our ADHD family member has been sabotaged by unnecessarily complicated, inconvenient, and tedious organizational systems, such as storing large supplies of common household items in the basement. Even relatively reasonable organizational systems that are workable for the rest of the family, such as storing towels in the hallway linen cupboard, may require an unreasonable amount of focus and effort for the ADHD family member. Make efficiency the top priority. The best organizational system for someone with ADHD is the one that is most efficient, simplest, most convenient, and the easiest to maintain, because it requires the least number of steps and materials. To set up a maintainable system for my ADHD clients, I must first eliminate all of those systems that are too complex, unwieldy, and tedious, and replace them with systems that are simple, fast, and convenient. Often, my systems sacrifice beauty for efficiency. For instance, I might move a shelf into the bathroom to hold clean towels. I might position it next to the shower so that it can also hold shower support items such as shampoo and soap. This shelf might not match the bathroom decor. Its open shelving with shampoo, razors, and soap bars visible might, in fact, detract from the decor. But it will enable the person with ADHD to shower without having to take a series of inefficient side trips. Family members will then be empowered to choose between perfect aesthetics in the family bath or the chance at a timely shower. Of course, floor plan, space, and routine vary widely from home to home. The solutions that work in one house may not be possible for another, but my greatest resource in adapting these systems is, in fact, the ADHD client. People with ADHD are fast thinkers. To paraphrase Dr. Edward M. Halliwell, author of Driven to Distraction, they have Ferrari brains with Chevy brakes. It has also been speculated that because their minds race so quickly from one subject to another, they make connections through a kind of rapid-fire synthesis that eludes the rest of us. Once you give these Ferrari thinkers just a couple of ADHD-appropriate tricks of the professional organizing trade, capture their interest, and put some of that formidable brain power to work, there's no telling how far they will go in applying what they've learned in creative and effective ways. Let's start with the basic rules of organizing. The rules of organizing. 1. Inventory, i.e. your stuff, must conform to storage. In the ADHD home especially, inventory must not fill storage. Don't keep building storage. Reduce your inventory. Don't overcrowd shelving, cabinets, and drawers. 2. Make your things easy to access and easier to put away. In the ADHD home, ease of stowage takes precedence over ease of retrieval. keep things where you use them, arranging possessions within activity areas or zones, giving everything a home. Take advantage of vertical storage space by using tall shelves and tall bureaus. Store things on the wall or on a shelf, never on the floor. 3. Only touch or sort it once. For example, sort or toss mail as soon as you open it. Don't add it to a pile you'll have to sort again later. 4. Duplicate where necessary to store things where you use them. For example, a toilet bowl brush in every bathroom. 5. Eliminate items that unnecessarily duplicate functions. For example, hand-powered can opener or electric can opener, not both. 6. Name your cabinets and shelves, dish cabinet, sock drawer, etc., to remind yourself that only those items are stored therein. 7. Make sure the rough storage areas in your home are well lit and easily accessible. Value these spaces because they guard against long-term storage items cluttering your living space. While these rules are a great foundation and will help guide you as you set out to change the way you live and organize, be sure to apply them only if they make sense in your situation. How do you know when it's okay to bend or break these rules? When they get in the way of efficiency? Creating the most efficient system. In order to create this system, all other values must be subordinate to the interests of efficiency. I often walk into homes where clients have placed values such as beauty, frugality, or preparedness before efficiency. What they end up with is organized but inefficient, and for the ADHD client, disastrously unmanageable systems. Remember this, just because something is organized doesn't mean that it is efficient. Let me give an outrageous example. I could organize your shoes by putting all your left shoes in the attic and all of your right shoes in the basement. Hey, it's organized. But it is neither efficient nor convenient. It just requires too much effort to retrieve and, even worse, to put away your shoes. Small inefficiencies equal large problems. We can all handle one or two inefficient systems, but problems arise from the collection of many small inefficiencies. If, for example, you are forced to sort and roll socks for a family of five, or cross the room multiple times to empty the dishwasher, or switch clothes into plastic bins every season, or run to the basement to get the blender, then you are never going to get out from underneath the clutter. Efficiency before beauty. Throughout this book, you will see some pictures of organized spaces that look like the before pictures in other organizing manuals. That is because other organizational systems are invested in beauty rather than efficiency. They would never show a picture of a bathroom with convenient open shelving and shower supplies arranged haphazardly so they're easy to grab. It just doesn't market well. In organizing for efficiency, we must be wary of those organizational systems that, although pretty, are neither practical nor sustainable. Although we can all enjoy the flawless charm of a meticulously organized space, we should not make the mistake of equating beauty with organization. Unfortunately, many people with ADHD suffer from a kind of perfectionism, often tragically, frustratingly unattainable given the nature of the disorder, that makes them quite vulnerable to this misguided yardstick of organizing success. If I were to advise an ADHD client to sort her socks by mating them, rolling them, and then placing each pair in an individual bin arranged by color, as a photo in a home goods catalog might encourage you to do, it's likely that the next time I visit her home, the bins will be empty, the socks will be in a half-sorted pile on someone's bed, and she will be hopelessly discouraged. Mating, rolling, and placing in bins is just too tedious and time-consuming. We need to employ a more efficient system. That is, identify a sock style of a medium weight, suitable for year-round use, and purchase 2 dozen in each of your most commonly used colors. Throw out all of your other socks. It is okay to retain 2 to 3 specialty socks, ski socks, thick woolen socks, etc. Allocate 1 bureau drawer to hold all of your socks and only your socks. Now you have achieved an organizational system for socks that is quick, easy, and practical. Socks need never again be mated and sorted. They get dumped directly and willy-nilly from the laundry into the sock drawer. Of course, the drawer will look like a wild jumble of socks, but it will be easy to use and maintain. Our goal cannot be beauty. It must instead be practicality. Although this would be the most efficient sock system for the attention-able as well, they are at liberty to ignore it and pursue a less convenient but more aesthetically pleasing system. And while the person with ADHD may occasionally put beauty before efficiency, she may in fact be a sock fashionista who couldn't possibly limit herself to 2 types of socks. She will only be able to indulge her fetishes in 1 or 2 areas of her life. For most of the systems in her home, the imperative must be efficiency. When an area becomes messy, the person with ADHD must ask herself, has the number of my possessions been reduced enough, and my organizational system simplified enough, that it can be cleaned in a matter of minutes? Because for ADHD clients, minutes may be all they have before the next beguiling, thoroughly captivating thought derails them from the task at hand. Efficiency before penny pinching. Support is not a luxury. Organizing is an equation of time, money, space, and effort. An efficient organizing system should save you time, effort, space, and stress, and overall could save you money. But let's be clear. Although we want to reduce overall spending by eliminating impulse shopping and overstock supplies, perfect frugality is not our goal. Instead, we'll use some of those saved funds to acquire needed services to support our new peace of mind and organized home. Every individual must find a personal balance between his finances and how much time and stress it costs him to accomplish his goals. But for those with ADHD, stinginess may be too expensive. Stuff is the enemy, but services that others may consider a minor luxury, housekeeper, lawn care, laundress, accountant, professional organizer, etc., might really be a therapeutic necessity. For larger tasks, or tasks that regularly resist your efforts to complete, spending money to get help may well be the most efficient and effective system. This may be as cheap and simple as hiring a neighborhood teenager to help with garage or yard cleaning. Working side by side with a more focused individual can keep you on task, especially toward the end when motivation may be waning. In terms of stuff, let's use the sock sample we discussed a few moments earlier. Efficiency takes precedence over penny pinching when we cast off the used socks and start again with all new socks in just 2 colors. The old socks, in time, would have needed to be replaced anyway, so that expense was merely brought forward. But laying out cash to buy a complete wardrobe of new socks all at one time, so they are all the same, is a true, though negligible, expense. Yet, isn't it the more reasonable option when you calculate the time and effort saved every time you do the laundry? In the modern age, our society's rarest commodity is not goods, but time. And the ADHD sufferer who requires more...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?